Thank you, kind sir. All right, we will go ahead and call this meeting to order. Nathan, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Bruce?
Here.
Councilmember Biggs?
Here.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item is the consent agenda. Is there anything you want pulled for discussion or motions otherwise?
Mayor, I'd move we approve the consent agenda as published.
Biggs, did you have anything?
Yes, I did want to ask about the. I read into the off-premise beer
alcohol license.
Which
is that?
D.
Which item?
Oh, D. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I understand where it's going to be, and there's going to be signage and everything like that. Is there also a time restriction on this? That's the only thing I didn't see. If there was a time restriction
Well, alcohol licenses have to be renewed every year, so if that's what you mean.
No, as far as like when sales are, so just after, just like all the rest of the bars and everything, because this is just the bakery with the food truck over by it.
And just normal. Wouldn't it be like seven the Jacksons?
That's what I was kind of curious if it's just. I don't know what their hours are. If it's just all business hours.
Yeah, I don't know.
Does anybody know the answer to any of that?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. Alcohol sales would only be permitted during hours of operation. So I'm not 100% sure of when Maria Bonita Bakery closes, but if it's closed, no alcohol sales can occur.
Right, nothing after 2 a.m. And, you know.
Okay.
So knowing that.
Okay. I'll second it.
Thank you.
Okay, motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries. Public hearing, consideration to approve case number 22-02-0A. Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. The City of CUNA requests consideration for an amendment to the CUNA City Code Title V, Chapters 1 and 3 and 16 to provide for public utility lots and lot splits. A public utility lot would be defined as a lot that exclusively contains public and private physical infrastructure, which is a physical component of an integrated public or private system which provides water, sewer, irrigation, natural gas, electrical grid, and or telecommunication service to the public. Infrastructure systems such as wells, lift stations, cell towers, and the like, in many instances, do not require a lot large enough to meet the minimum lot size requirements established in CUNA City Code. The KCC official height and area standards table will be amended, so there will be no minimum lot size that applies to a public utility lot, and public utility lots will not be subject to setbacks. The inclusion of KCC Title V, Chapter 16, Section 5 will provide for the addition of public utility lot splits and the specific application submittal criteria. I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, questions for Doug?
I guess I have one. Why would we not require setback standards?
Generally, for the most part, it's because if it's a cell tower or a pump house or something like that, it won't require a residential setback. Residential lots are the only things that require the 5/5/15. For the most part, commercials and industrial, we permit 100% lot coverage. And these won't be things that have a house on them. There might be a pump station, a well house, something like that. And this was also brought to light when we realized there are several instances where public utilities or developers, something where we need city infrastructure within a subdivision, We would rather have a physical lot that the city could take ownership of as opposed to having an easement with an access easement and things like that. This is just trying to clean some of those things up.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Further question? All right. This is a public hearing, and I didn't have anybody sign up to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to testify on this matter didn't get a chance to sign in? All right. Seeing none.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question if I could.
You betcha.
Have we run into anything that needs this change now? Is it like any particular piece of land or something that we've had trouble with that we're addressing this now that will?
There have been issues in the past that things have been had to be addressed through alternative means. This is more of we're preparing for things that are on the horizon, especially with the greater East Kuna Industrial District. There'll be a lot of necessity for different types of infrastructure that we can't necessarily know exactly what it's going to be, and in a number of instances it would be easier for us to maintain ownership of a well site, for instance, as opposed to have to work with a developer to provide an easement on their property and an access easement. They would rather us not have an easement regardless. They'd rather just the city to take ownership of a lot that the public utility is on.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything further? I think it just avoids issues in the future, so a good piece of cleanup.
You did open the public hearing?
What's that?
You did open the public hearing, right? I'm making sure I'm in the right spot here.
Yeah, there wasn't anybody signed up to testify, so.
Okay, then I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. So, yeah, like I said, I think this just is a cleanup to make things easier in the future. And obviously somebody that is, so we're going to build a pump house on a piece of property. And I think even for the benefit of the city would prefer to own that rather than have an easement on it that could be called into question in the future. And plus, then we get to maintain it. Huh? Yeah, there's always a bonus, right?
Right. Anything else?
I have nothing intelligent. No.
Okay, pretty straightforward. Okay, I would then move we approve case 22-02-0A.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for approval of case number 22-02-0A. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposed? And that motion carries. And that brings us to Grange Proclamation, Grange Month. I always am happy to do this. It's our Grange has been such an intricate part of our heritage and continues to be an intricate part of our community. So I'm always proud to get to do this, plus the great people that we have that are members of the Grange. Whereas the Grange strengthens individuals, families, and communities through grassroots action, service, education, advocacy, and agriculture awareness. And whereas the Grange has played a major role in the development of rural America and passage of important legislation during three centuries, and whereas the Grange of the 21st century continues to be an active force in thousands of neighborhoods across the country, creating connections between people, communities, and organizations, even through periods of social unrest and disruption, and whereas the Grange is committed to the development of the potential in families, children, youth, and adults of all ages through dynamic programs and experiences that educate, engage, and enrich lives. And whereas the Grange emphasizes civic responsibility and the involvement of people in the legislative process, cultivating connections between citizens and their government, and whereas the Grange offers opportunities for civil discussions among people of all viewpoints and opinions, serving as a safe haven for exploring important social and legislative issues of the day, and whereas the Grange emphasizes civic responsibility and the involvement of people in the legislative process, oh, I already said that, cultivating connections between citizens and their government, and whereas the Grange offers opportunities for civil discussions among people of all viewpoints and opinions, serving as a safe haven, I must have just really scrolled dumb here. All right, here we go. The Grange strengthens hometowns through volunteerism, community support, and legislative action, building up rural America for the benefit of all who live there. And whereas the Grange motto, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity, has guided the Grange mission through advocacy, community service, and openness to all. And whereas Grange members everywhere wish to celebrate and express their pride in the legacy of their highly respected organization, I now therefore, Joseph Steer, Mayor of the City of Cuna, do hereby proclaim April 2023 to be Grange Month in the City of Cuna, Idaho. And I have a copy of the proclamation here, and we'll hand that off. Did any of you want to speak?
No, I'd just like to express my appreciation for your continued support of our organization, and thank you all for everything the city does to help in the community.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're celebrating April 20th. We're going to celebrate Grange Month at the Grange Hall.
Oh.
So 6 o'clock, April 20th, we're going to have cake. And then we honor 5 citizens of the community. We do a firefighter, a police officer, citizen, school teacher, and a Granger. So you're all invited to come April 20th at 6.
Cake and coffee.
And they always have amazing cake.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's one thing us Grangers do is we like to eat. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really good cake.
Yeah. All right. That leads us to House Bill 328 and the impact of the CUNA Data Center and the CUNA Urban Renewal District. Chris Bruce.
So this was just about House Bill 328. I just wanted to get an update from Morgan. There's been a lot of things that have gone through the legislature. I think it would be good for us all to get on the same page when we're talking to the community. That way, if we have any questions, we can ask her.
Good. Yeah, and there's been 3 separate versions of this, and this is the one that finally made it through.
Thank you, Ms. Morgan.
For the record, Morgan Treasurer, Economic Development Director, City of Cuna. Mayor, Councilman, yes, House Bill 328 is the one that made it all the way through. Its predecessors, House Bill 159 and House Bill 46, were all different versions of legislation targeted towards excluding data centers from urban renewal districts. So just from the outset, it was not something that we were expecting or anticipating. You guys were all here. We didn't get public feedback when we were creating our urban renewal district, so we were kind of taken by surprise when this popped up at the legislature. We had a great group of people, and our partners all showed up to support us to try and get it stopped, to educate, you know, our representatives and our senators on what was going on and the impact it would have on the city if it did go through. And unfortunately, it made it through and passed the Senate on Thursday. We did have a conversation with the governor's office, and there are, is some still some stuff in the works, so we'll see by the end of the week. We should know the final fate of this piece of legislation. The real impact of it is quite simple. It just says that we can't take the increment from the data center and use it towards all of those projects that were on the project list for the East Kuna Urban Renewal District. So that expansion of the sewer treatment that we were expecting to be able to fund with the tax increment from the data center is now, as of right now, probably off the table unless we get a veto. So that's really the long and short of it. I can get into more details if anybody else has any more specific questions. It's really hard right now to talk numbers because this legislation is always is also coming in concert with House Bill 292, and we're not even quite sure how those things are going to interact. So everyone keeps asking right now, like, what's the impact? And we don't really know yet. We aren't able to do that math to give you a number. It was brought up multiple times during the debate on the bill that the citizens of Kuna would see a 20% reduction in their tax bill. That is not quite accurate. That's not how urban renewal assessments and math work. That number that they came up with, it wasn't 20%. I think it was 17. But that's the effect on CUNA's levy rate. That is not the effect on the overall tax bill. That value for the data center goes towards all the countywide districts as well. So when you take that holistic picture, it's actually a pretty minor tax shift.
And then I'll say that Morgan did a really good job of providing a great detailed amount of information for legislators that was sent out. Some of them actually listened and looked and read that. I will say of our local representatives, Senator Lakey was the only one that actually had any conversation to do any fact-finding about it, and a little disappointed in that. But as Morgan said, our call with the governor's office yesterday seemed to go really well, and I think they're just putting feelers out to see. You know, they already had one that bill that the governor vetoed that they overrode the veto, so chances are without any legwork, that would be the same issue here. So we don't know exactly where that stands right now or what they've come up with in their fact-finding mission to find out what legislators think about it once they get the full true story. Yes.
Can I ask a question? I guess two. Wasn't it the state that initiated this with Meta, the state commerce? I remember they were involved in this at that grand opening we had. So if the state supported it, how did it?
So,
and my second question, it's real simple. Why are they picking on a data center? I'm lost.
Mayor, Councilman, we have had similar questions, and in listening to the narrative from the State House, by the time we got to House Bill 328, their explanation was that they created the data center sales tax exemption so that we would match our competitive markets, so that Idaho would be in the same position as other states that were looking to attract data centers that had the same kind of property and infrastructure and that kind of thing. So it put us on an equal playing ground, and that incentive was created, of course, with the end goal of property tax relief, and that this legislation was a clarification of what they intended when they created that initial exemption in 2020. It took them a few tries to get to that story, but that was finally where it landed. So that's sort of, that was their explanation as to why they were doing this. So I guess the technical explanation would be they were saying that the sales tax exemption already comes at a burden to the taxpayer, so having a revenue allocation area on top of that was too much and not what they meant. So they passed this to clarify their original position.
But didn't the legislator earlier this year give Micron a big tax break because they built a data center? Not a data center, but...
So there's a... Councilman Mayor, there's a similar incentive for semiconductors, and it goes into the CHIPS Act, and there's a few other pieces that make that thing work. So similar, and State Department of Commerce does also do what we call TRI, so tax reimbursement incentives. They're, most big projects have a state-level incentive involved. And I would say, like, on the data center side, and this one of the arguments we made was that it has not been uncommon in the history of urban renewal in Idaho for them to say, ooh, wait, you guys, an agency did something. We didn't mean for you to be able to do it that way. And so they will make a clarification or addition to urban renewal code. This is the first time they've ever done one that was applied retroactively, though. That was a bit different than anything, at least I've ever seen in my career working with urban renewal.
And yes, the Idaho Department of Commerce are the ones that brought Project Paragon here with their site locators, and initially brought them here to the first place to show them the area. And they're not really picking on Meta because this really has nothing to do with Meta. Meta doesn't get a tax break. They're still paying full bore on all the taxes.
Property taxes, right.
Meta's held harmless on all of this. It doesn't affect them one iota. So basically what they're attacking is our urban renewal district.
I find it hard to believe that none of the sponsors, the bill sponsors, reached out, at least not to me, or did any of them call you?
No. Once we found the bill was running, that's when we started making contact, trying to find out what they needed to know. And
so do we still have an urban renewal district out there?
We still have it.
Well, it's still there, but the anchor that actually makes the whole thing work is being taken out of the mix. So, I mean, if we were able to get somebody else that had enough money to begin building infrastructure, we could get it up and running, but who knows if and when that will be. So,
pull out your checkbook.
That's it.
Also, did the representatives running the bill, did they know that we'd be required to pay for the water treatment facility in perpetuity?
Well, nobody did any fact-finding at all, as far as I can tell. Any stories I heard down there about this, they were completely off base and didn't have proper information. And like I said, I mean, we tried to educate. Morgan sent out, I think she sent you a copy of that, of her last very detailed description of what that is and what it does. And I don't know how you give them any more information, and especially if they don't ever make contact back. So
right. just doesn't make any sense. But
I have some questions.
Yeah.
Because I read the paper, and in particular, the Idaho Statesman from the 30th, there was an opinion piece where they're talking about a Brian Frost, Star Acres. So he said in the piece, if he knew this was going to happen, he never would have bought his property. I think that surrounds, there's part of the urban renewal district. Am I understanding that correctly?
Mayor, Councilman Biggs, yeah, Brian Frost is the one who came in with that 65-acre annexation just like a month or two ago. And yeah, I mean, we had approved a revenue allocation area with an urban renewal plan, so he was good to go. you know, feeling that infrastructure was coming. So even though he's outside of the district, the closer proximity that infrastructure is, the cheaper it is for him to develop. So understanding that that expansion of infrastructure isn't going to happen, yeah.
Well, so I'm just going on timelines here because I wasn't appointed to the council until late September, but if he completed construction on a 17,000 square foot light industrial building in that area in August of 2022, and November 1st was when we approved the urban renewal district, which actually two of us voted no, and it was a tie break by the mayor, then obviously the urban renewal district, did he think it was going to get approved? Because it wasn't approved at that point. So I'm leading on to another question. Hold Can on. A city get sued? Or maybe making a promise? I don't know. Is there understanding?
Councilman Biggs, I think you're kind of conflating two things. So that property that he was talking about in CUNA, the 17,000 square foot one, is actually not in the urban renewal area. It's up here on Shoreline. So the other property that he bought because those meetings for that urban renewal district started back in 2021. So that was, he was buying at risk, but with the understanding that this was like a project that made sense. And
but it wasn't approved yet.
It wasn't.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So is the city going to get sued?
He took the risk.
That was at risk. I mean, it would have been.
It just seems an awful big risk to, you know, when something that isn't approved yet. We didn't approve until November. It just seems awfully risky. And it just seems almost disingenuous in the article. Maybe it's just in making implications. I don't know. But he's making it seem like, well, I wouldn't have done this if I would have known that this was going to happen. It's like, well, the urban renewal district wasn't even approved at that point. And it barely passed here. So that's what
You're talking about Scott McIntosh's editorial.
Yes.
And I would say, my mayor and councilman, up until that final meeting where we were looking at the approval, we had like three or four public meetings discussing the projects and process, and those had all gone completely smooth without any sort of opposition or any ruffling of feathers. So evaluating it from his standpoint, it didn't look like there was going to be any opposition and that the plan was just going through the process that it required. So, you know, in doing risk analysis on that, it didn't look like it was going to be a contested project.
And maybe Mark can speak to that better if there's I don't know if you have any input or.
On the question of whether we're going to get sued, is that what you mean?
I think he was questioning liability for something in an article.
In an article, we haven't stated anything in that article, but as far as him making his decisions based on what the city put forth, I'd say he's, what was put forth is that we were pursuing an urban renewal district, revenue allocation area, and savvy investors are going to be paying attention to the process, going to be like what Morgan's talking about, paying attention to is there resistance, is there strong opposition, does it look like it's going to be approved? And they're going to make investments based on what they're perceiving because they want to be ahead of the curve and getting in there early, right? And so that's some of the risk they're playing. And I think Councilmember Biggs, what you're getting at a little bit different is, sounds like you're probably more risk averse than this guy to me. And he made, decisions with risks that he calculated and felt comfortable on his experience that maybe you wouldn't have made. But the city's representations to this person are what was being made in meetings, in open meetings, and what's being heard there, and he's making his decisions. So he may have bought before, expecting it to happen, having heard no resistance in the meetings that he observed.
So there were public meetings beforehand?
Yeah, I just wasn't privy to this. I also wanted to ask about just going back to the water and sewer, Morgan, this situation, is this typical for any other large, I guess, project that the city would take over, like they're talking about in these articles? Paying for the sewer and the water treatment, I guess, that the city would assume the taking it over?
Mayor, Councilman Biggs, this was a particularly large-scale version of something that we do all the time, where a developer comes in, builds what they need to make a project work for us or to tie into our system or whatever, and then the city, that infrastructure is conveyed back to the city. Because the project we're talking about is so huge, it ends up being an entire system. So that part makes it a little unique, but it really has to do more with the scale than...
And that's why I was asking.
Yeah.
It seems like it, normally don't we do this anyway, but this is something that the legislature seemed to be really focusing on.
Like so it,
out of the ordinary or something.
When they first came, when Project Peregrine first came, they wanted to know what it would take for them to be able to locate there. Obviously they need water and wastewater treatment. We told them what they needed to do with that, and they said, we don't want to be in the wastewater treatment business. And we said, well, we're not going to run a wastewater treatment plant for just a single user. So that's when the urban renewal thing came in, and we negotiated with them to make it enough bigger that we would have some space for other users to come on soon, and then through that, then they could start working to expand or whatever they needed to with the wastewater treatment. But our sole intention with our original negotiations with Project Peregrine was that they would build the plant, it would be built bigger, and then other users would come on, and with the urban renewal district, we can put some more pipe in the ground and expand that out, and then it can continue to grow, and with that tax increment, continue to grow and bring more businesses in. And so right now, it's put the halt on any expansion to that wastewater treatment plant. So, and the problem out there, of course, is lava rock, so any of the pipes they put in the ground, they go down a couple of feet, and then they get a blast lava rock, put pipe in, and it gets really expensive really quick. So that's why it's hard for small businesses to actually go out and locate in an area like that.
Thank you, Ms. Morgan, for the information.
Thank you. Very good. So we still don't know if where the governor sits on it, and even where he sits on it, what it means after that. So I would imagine the legislature is wanting to go home, and last I heard they want to go home tomorrow, but I don't know if that'll happen. So if the governor vetoed it, it's highly likely it would go right back to both bodies for a vote for a veto override. So even if he did veto it, pop right back in anyway, so not looking good for the CUNA East Urban Renewal District, but we'll do what we have to with what we got. Did anybody have anything else?
Not at this time.
I have nothing.
You got nothing?
I had one question. Okay. The meeting tomorrow, do we normally just I had someone call me about the 6 o'clock or 6:30. Is that just normal times that we do those type of events, or is there a way to do we move them back later? Or
so we opted to go for the 4 to 6 p.m. time slot because when we did the future land use map open house, I think we had almost 150 attendees and upwards of 90 comments on the project, so it seemed – like we got a very good turnout for that, so we just chose to go same day on a Wednesday at the same time.
Awesome, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, earlier in the day we always had less, and later in the day we always had less. So that just seemed to be like a prime time. So.
And additionally, if people were to come in at 5:50 p.m., staff will be on site to answer any questions past 6. It's not like we're gonna lock the doors at 6 p.m.
Right.
Yep.
You will shut off the grill, though, so there's no more cooking after.
Okay. Maybe there's food?
No.
And I did...
No, but I was trying to entice people to
darn.
Come. It's like cake. It's not as good a cake as a grain.
I pay attention to things. I wear purple. I wore it.
I'm good, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing that up, and I guess meeting is adjourned.